few weeks ago, I got a call here at the church from a lady, and she was pretty sure that she knew who I was. And she began to just say, "Hey, Pastor John, this is so-and-so, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and I'm still trying to figure out who it is that she is, and she's telling me that this is what she needs and that kind of stuff." And I'm like, wait, who are you? You know, she's like, this is who I am. I used to live next to you or close to you, she said. And I'm like, I've only lived here about 3 years. I pretty much know all my neighbors, that are around me, you know. I haven't had that many that have moved away. I'm like, who is this? And I asked her name again. She's like, no, it's this name. And I'm like, finally I got to the point where I'm like, you know, I'm sorry. I just don't know you. I didn't know her. Later I thought about, you know, there's a, she was calling from the hospital in Mora. There's a church in Mora called Friendship Church. it's a Nazarene church. I was like, oh, maybe she's calling that church. She was pretty sure that she knew me. So maybe there's a Pastor John out there, I don't know. But have you ever had someone like come up to you and start talking to you and as if they knew you? Maybe they didn't recognize you or something like that, or they thought you were somebody else, and when they said your name, then they're like, oh, that's not me, sorry. Or have you ever had a phone call or someone text you, and they obviously had the wrong number, but they didn't realize it yet until you said, I'm sorry, but you have the wrong number. Okay, that's happened to a couple of you. All right, that's good. Well, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, told us that there would be a few that he would say to, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. Let's open our Bibles today and let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Like I said, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about the narrow and the wide gates, those who enter through the narrow gate into heaven and those who are on the broad road to destruction. And then he's talking about true and false prophets. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. A bad tree can't produce good fruit. And then he gets to verse 21, and that's where we're going to start at today in Matthew 7. And it'll be on the screen here too. There we go. All right. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Away from me, you evildoers. Three times in this passage, they say, in your name. These people say, in your name, Lord, in your name, didn't we do this? And in your name, didn't we do that? And in your name, didn't we do this? I think it's very interesting that a person will be able to prophesy, will be able to drive out demons, will be able to perform many miracles all in the name of Jesus. And yet, here, the words of Jesus say, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Makes me think about where my relationship is at with the Lord. Am I building a relationship with Jesus? Or am I just using the truths that he gives to see my own ends met? We remember today on Resurrection Sunday that Jesus died for all the sins of the world, every single one. There is no sin that the blood of Jesus did not atone for on that cross. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, that's on the screen as well, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. How many know when he says of first importance, that means it's pretty important, right? Yeah. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And why? Why? Because Romans 3 tells us that there is no one who is righteous, no one who does what is good. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the state that we are in apart from Christ. And so Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. So we can have salvation, eternal life through Jesus. But is that it? Is that all? If so, why do we use the term Christian today? And why does it differentiate us from the rest of the world? Why is that? I'm glad you asked. During family time recently, the question was brought up, what's the difference between a Christian and a believer? What's the difference? Is a believer someone who just says that they believe in God, but there's nothing in their life that shows it? Is a Christian only a heritage that we're born into? Our ancestry, where we came from? There are those who say that they believe in God, but when you look at how they live compared to others in the world, it may be hard to tell a difference. It may be hard to tell a difference. What sets a Christian or a believer apart? To those who are believers, we've chosen to give up the right to ourselves. And as Matthew 16, 24 says, we deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we follow after him. That word deny in the Greek is the word aparneomai. How many know it's easier to say deny? Aparneomai. It carries the same meaning as to disown. To disown. Meaning a break in a relationship to the point of not ever remembering or acknowledging the fact that what we're disowning exists anymore. You guys have seen the show Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof. Tevye is the father. They're a Jewish family. And his oldest two daughters decide that they kind of break a little bit of the Jewish tradition about how they get married. And the third daughter comes along, and she marries somebody who is not even Jewish. Okay? And as a result, Tevye, the father, disowns her. Disowns her. And says to his wife, she is as dead to us now. And later when this daughter comes to him to try to talk to him, he acts as if she doesn't even exist. Friends, to deny ourselves means that something should look different about our lives. Amen? Yes. As a believer, does your life look different from those around you? If not, what does the relationship that you have with our living God even look like? Is there one at all? People tend to think of choosing to be a believer as checking a box on a list or a checkbox on a list, like a bucket list of all those things that you want to get done before you die. Okay? So I want to own my own house. I want to raise a family. I want to build my career. I want to travel the world. I want to go to Europe. I want to parasail. I want to skydive. You know? And oh yeah, I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to check that box that says, yeah, I'm a believer. I'm going to say that I believe in God. I'm going to say that. But here's the truth. If you truly believe that God exists, it will change how you live. It will. It will. Not because you change how you live. The focus is not on our own behavior modification. Well, I'm a Christian now, so I have to live like a Christian. Right? You know, Jesus talked about that a little bit too with the Pharisees, those who tried to keep themselves in line, behavior modification. I must live this way. I must live this way. I must live this way. You know what he called them? Whitewashed tombs. Clean on the outside, but all kinds of impurities and wickedness on the inside. It's not so much about changing how we live as it is about the change that God brings in us as we build a relationship with him. Amen? Love the way you're shouting today. If we confess that he is Lord, but there is no life change or transformation in us, it's quite possible that we're just checking that box. And we might hear someday, I never knew you. See, our life will reflect what we believe. And our life will be different based on who we choose to build a relationship with. The church is meant to meet together. Hebrews 10 talks about that, to meet together, to encourage one another, to pursue a relationship with God. But the Bible also says that bad company corrupts good judgment. Who are we building a relationship with? Who are we building a relationship with? Isn't it about following the Ten Commandments? We build a relationship with Jesus, and the love for him and others will flow out of that relationship, not because we have to. Not because we have to. But our love for him, for Jesus, and our love for others will flow out of our relationship. Okay? We're not talking behavior modification here. I know some people who say that they believe in God. They may even wear a cross on their neck, have a nice scripture on their wall in the house. They may pray when they need something really big, when they're scared maybe. But when all is well, they just live like the world. And I know this because I've lived that way as well. I grew up believing that there was a God, that Jesus paid the price for my sins, and that being over, all was well. Phew! I'm glad I didn't live before Jesus was born. That would have been bad. Wrong. Christianity for me then was like reading a history book about a war, maybe that that they won, like George Washington, War of Independence. I'm thankful for the people who fought in that war and died so that I could live in a free country, home of the free because of the brave. But then I would go on my merry way, remembering only their sacrifice on days like Memorial Day. If I ever even acknowledged at that time what those days meant, other than a day off with pay for me. I'm going to meddle a little bit with you today. There are those who would come to church on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, or Christmas Sunday. Thank you, God. Thank you for making that difference in my life. Thank you for paying the price for my sins. And then go on their merry way as well. Kind of the same thing, isn't it? But there's more to it than this for our salvation, isn't there? There's more to eternal life than that. Take a look at John 17 and verse 3. That's on the screen as well today. It says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you," Jesus says, "that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." We need to know him, church. We need to know him. We need to build a relationship with him. And in that relationship, do we find eternal life as opposed to the eternal punishment? Can someone practice a truth from the very pages of the Bible and not be saved? Is that possible? Yeah. A man reaps what he sows. Galatians 6, right? If we are kind to others, we're generous to others, people appreciate that. Lots of times we get something back from them. We might even hear at the funeral of someone who, of a kind person, let's say, other people talk about how kind and how generous they were. But if they don't know Jesus, friends, they don't have eternal life. No matter how many truths of the Bible you practice. So we have those who say that they're a Christian, but then they just go on and live the way that they want to. The fruit that they're producing is not a lasting fruit. There's a difference between producing fruit and producing lasting fruit in our lives. John 15 and verse 16. I have that one too, Madison. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." So glad. So glad he chose me. So glad he chose you. "And appointed you that so that you might go and bear fruit." What kind of fruit? Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. "And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." That Greek word for "what will last" is the Greek word meno. Meno. It means to continue to be, to not perish, to endure. What is produced from our relationship with our God is what will endure or carry on long after we've gone to be with our Heavenly Father. I'm not talking about buildings, trees that you planted, not a museum or an organization that you've given money to, but the eternal impact your life will have on another, that God uses to bring that person into the kingdom or to set that person free. Amen? Yes. And the impact that that life will have on every other person that they come in contact with, and the impact that those lives will have on every other person, and so on and so on and so on. Fruit that will last. We have an easy time looking at the here and now, but everything that we do can make an impact for eternity in the life of another. Saying that, though, our lives should not be lived in what can I do for Jesus, but rather, how can I build a deeper relationship with him? How can I do that? Have you ever been jealous of what someone else has? Never, right? That's not us. No, we don't get jealous. Maybe a relationship that that person has with somebody else, and you're like, oh man, I wish I had that kind of relationship. Maybe you've wanted the same thing. The cool thing about Jesus, though, is that no matter how deep a person has a relationship with him, he has just as much to give you as well. That was such a cool picture that I got in Bible school. A Christian's supposed to look like this in my mind. A Christian's supposed to act like this in my mind. This is the things that I was believing as I was going into Bible school. And what I learned in Bible school was that, man, my relationship with the Lord is going to look different than every other person out there. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad I'm different from you. Yes, I'm glad I'm different. If he had chosen to make us all have the same kind of relationship with him, we would all be identical. Can you imagine yourself looking like everybody else in the world? No way. Christianity today can also be seen as a heritage. How the family that you were born into and the way that they live becomes a lifestyle. Okay? But not always a lifestyle of bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. Like John the Baptist said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, again going through the motions of, this is the way I must live, this is the way I must live, this is the way I must live. That's in Matthew 3 and verse 8. If one generation builds a relationship with Jesus but doesn't show the next generation, like we were just praying about up here, doesn't show the next generation how to do the same, how to build a relationship with Jesus, that next generation could rise up and continue to act like a Christian, but it becomes something that they just do based on how they were raised rather than having their own relationship with the living God. Yeah. It can parallel if you were to say, well, I'm Irish or I'm Norwegian, right? There's some vestiges of the heritage of what we've been born into that are still in our life today, but by and far, most of us in this room are Heinz 57 varieties, right? We're kind of like mutts, right? We have a blend of all kinds of ancestral lines coming in to one. But the cool thing about that, though, is that if you think about the different generations and the different ancestors that you yourself have had, the hundreds and the thousands of people that have come together basically to make you, if any one of the people along those lines was different, you wouldn't be here today. If one person was different in that whole line, you and I would not be here today. Don't tell me God doesn't have a plan for your life. I'm Scottish, partly Scottish, part of my Heinz 57 variety. But my uncle did a genealogy search on our family's history, and I found out that I actually have Viking in me. Yeah, go Vikes! I'm not a football fan, so. Anyway, that was my attempt at it. But yeah, in the 12th century, Vikings landed in Scotland and decided to take up residence there. And at some point, those Vikings in Scotland became Scottish. Why? Because they married Scottish people and they continued to live in the land of Scotland. And so that pure Viking line, unfortunately, in my ancestry, got watered down by other nationalities. You know, there are some good things that come from watering stuff down. Concentrated frozen juice. Buy it in a small container, mix it with water, it goes a long ways. If you were to try to drink just the concentrated juice, you may get a sugar rush. It may cause some health concerns for a time. Or concentrated chemicals, antifreeze, weed killer. They come in smaller packages, and they go further as you dilute them. But friends, Christianity was not meant to be watered down. No. It's meant to remain pure, concentrated by the Holy Spirit's power, not mixed with worldly desires. I'll take some of this. I'll take some of that. I'll take some of this. I'll take some of that. Take some God. Take some Jesus. That is how we are supposed to treat everything that comes to us from our is including our relationship with Him, is that it is pure. Nothing that we can do for Him, nothing that we can do for Him, no matter how many prophecies that we give, no matter how many demons that we drive out, no matter how many miracles that we are a part of, can take the place of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? If it does, we eventually too could go after the works of Him rather than He Himself. We focus on the works rather than the miracle worker. So, we've established that it's important to have a relationship with the Lord. How do we build a relationship with Him? I like Matthew's account. You can turn there to Matthew 27. Matthew's account of Jesus on the cross. See, we're getting to the story today. Matthew 27, we'll put it up on the screen as well. Let's start in verse 35. It says, when they had crucified Him, they divided up His clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over Him there. These are the soldiers. Above His head, they placed the written charge against Him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. After the soldiers crucified Jesus, they sat down and they kept watch. They sat down and they kept watch. Jesus may have been on the cross, but those soldiers are sitting at the feet of Jesus. Okay? They're sitting at the feet of Jesus. How often do you just sit in the presence of Jesus? Just sit. Not just assume that He's there, but actually sit and acknowledge His presence is before you. How often do you do that? These Roman unbelieving soldiers were sitting at the feet of Jesus, like Mary did when Martha was busy going around, running around, doing all that kind of stuff. At the same time, in verse 41, it says, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked Jesus. Those who knew the scriptures, who Jesus said to in John 5 and 39, you search the scriptures because you believe that by them you have eternal life. But the scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me. You refuse to come to me. Verse 39, those who passed by hurled insults at Him, shaking their heads. Okay? Yet the soldiers sat at His feet. The unbelieving soldiers sat at His feet. But these soldiers weren't just sitting at His feet. What else were they doing? They were keeping watch. They were keeping watch. Their eyes were on Jesus. They kept their watch on Him. Colossians 3 and verse 1 says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. Not on earthly things. Literally, the soldiers were looking at things above, Jesus hanging on the cross. In order to see Him, we need to keep our hearts and our minds on the things above this world. We can get so caught up in all the things that are happening around us and the things that are on our plate, and we get busy and we think, God, in the midst of this, we become really needy. We're like, God, where are you? God, where are you in this? It's in those times we need to come and sit at His feet. No matter how much time we think that we have or don't have, and set our hearts and minds on things that are above, Jesus Christ Himself. Now move on to verse 50 here. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, He gave up His spirit. That means He died. He gave up His spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split. And many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Isn't that crazy? We're not talking about some zombie show, okay? This really happened. People actually rose from the dead and went into town, and the people that were in town recognized them. They were holy people. Reminds me of the bones of Elisha, the prophet Elisha. We talked about him last week. In 2 Kings 13 and verse 21, there was a dead guy that his friends were trying to bury, and some bandits came along, and so they're like, well, there's Elisha's tomb. Let's just throw him in there. And they throw the dead guy into the tomb. And when the scripture says in verse 21, and when the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. How crazy is that? There is nothing our God cannot do. He is Almighty God. Do you know him like that? Do you believe that about him? Does it change the way you live? Verse 54. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus, so that's the same ones over there in verse 36, who were sitting at his feet, watching him, when the centurion and those with him were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Surely he was the Son of God. These soldiers, they received a revelation of who Jesus is. Why? They were sitting at his feet. They had their eyes on things that were above. Okay? In Luke's account, Luke 23 and verse 47, it says that centurion, standing guard, actually praised God as a result of it. They experienced the living God, and the result was praise. Not, I have to praise, but, man, God did something in my heart, and my result is praise. I praise him. Two verses later in Luke 23, verse 49, it says, those who knew Jesus, those who were his followers, also stood at a distance but watching. They were watching as well. They were doing the same thing the soldiers were doing. Where are your eyes today? Where are your eyes today? Here's the truth. As we spend time with Jesus and build our own relationship with him, we will see him as he really is. And that, my friends, will change how we live. Amen? Yes. As we close today, on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, there was another resurrection. You see that? Matthew 27 again in verse 52. Many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after. Why after? Because Colossians 1:18 says that Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Appeared to many people. There was another resurrection that day. Let me ask you today. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you ever made the decision to follow him with your whole heart? To deny yourself. Stop thinking about your own stuff. Take up your cross and follow after him. If so, God wants to resurrect today. Not from a physical death, but from a spiritual death. Let's all stand together. Close your eyes with me. Thank you, Lord. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're that one who said, yeah, I've just been checking a box. I don't want to go to hell, so I'm just going to check the box. But you know, there's not much different about you after making that decision. You know you haven't been building a relationship with our Lord. You haven't been denying yourself, taking up your cross, following after him. God wants to begin that relationship with you today. With everybody's eyes closed. If that's you today, and you say, yeah, Jesus, I don't want to just check a box. I want to be all in. I want to build a relationship with you. I don't want anything to get in the way of that. If that's you today, with everybody's eyes closed, I just want you to raise up a hand with me today. Raise up a hand with me today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We don't want to just check a box. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for those who have raised their hands. I thank you for their willingness to hear what you wanted to say today. God, this wasn't my message. This is your message. Lord, I thank you that you truly care about every one of us. You don't want us to spend life without you. You want us to have a relationship with you. You don't want us to go to hell. God, you want to have eternal life with us. If you raise your hand today, I just want you to pray a simple prayer with me right now. And all the other believers in the place are going to help us out. We're going to pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm tired of living for myself. I choose to turn away from that. I turn to you. I want to have a relationship with you. Forgive me, Lord, and change me. Transform me. Make me new in you. Thank you that you never change, and I can count on the promises in your word. And so today, I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 For those who raised your hand today, you're new. You're not the same as what you once were. God's made you new today. You get a new start today, a do-over. Amen? Get in His Word. Get in His Word. Tell somebody else the decision that you made today. Don't keep it to yourself. We get to do this together. That's what this church family is about. We do life together. We encourage one another. We build each other up. We walk alongside each other. We have relationship with one another. And that's so important in our walk with the Lord. Amen? Amen. God, I just thank you for this opportunity today to remember that you died and that you rose again from the dead according to your scriptures. God, that we may have new life in you. We are new in you. And someday, God, as we build our relationship with you, we're going to hear you say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. God, we look forward to that day. But between then and now, our work here isn't finished. And the work that you want to do in our lives is not finished. Lord, but I thank you that you're working it out. And today was a part of that. And so, God, I just pray that you would help us. Help us to walk alongside you, as Adam did in the cool of the garden before the fall. God, to walk alongside you. Help us, Lord. We love you.